the 19th Psalm, verse 7. The law of the Lord, and that's just the title for the Bible, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I want you to think of that. The law of the Lord is perfect, and it is the means by which the soul is converted. Now turn, please, to the book of the Acts, chapter 3. Book of the Acts, chapter 3. Now we'll read one part here of Peter's sermon on this occasion. Verse 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Repentance and conversion and the blotting out of sin. Now, finally, we'll read the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 18. Gospel by Matthew, chapter 18. Verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter. And the word is, ye shall in not one case, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of these remarkable portions of the Word of God with what we've been privileged to hear at the beginning of our meeting this evening. I'm sure that everyone here has been left in absolutely no doubt that our company is divided into two distinct groups. As far as the world is concerned, there may be many different classes here, old and young, rich and poor, different religions and racial origins and ethnic groups may be represented. But as far as heaven is concerned tonight, you're either one who has received Christ as your personal Savior and you've been converted to God, or else you're one without Christ tonight and on the wrong road that leads to eternal ruin. You're either saved and going to heaven, or lost and going down to hell this evening as you sit in this gospel tent. Now I'm going to speak a word on a very important subject. In fact, we might call it a first-line important subject as far as the gospel is concerned. And it's a subject that is being less and less heard in our day, and that is the subject of being converted. And all these scriptures bear upon that very important subject, and we would never think of speaking about it without having what the Bible teaches about conversion to God. Now the first thing I'm going to say is this, that everyone that we meet with, wherever we go, has a desire in his heart that at the end of his journey, when life is done, he would finally get to heaven for all eternity. Men in every part of the world where we travel, even those who believe very little about the Bible, there is that hope in their heart that when the journey is done, they might go to heaven. They have a wrong conception, of course, about what heaven is like, and various religions have different ideas about it. But there is in every man's heart a thought, perhaps he wouldn't express it, but there is a desire that at the end of his journey, he would go to the better place. Now, how do we know that there is a heaven to begin with? If I were asked tonight, how do you know that there is a heaven at all? The only answer I could give is this, that the Bible teaches beyond the shadow of a doubt, and the Lord Jesus spake about it so often. He said he came down from heaven, and at the end of his journey, he ascended up to heaven. And heaven in the Bible is plainly taught. And the only way that I know there's a heaven at the end of life is because the Bible says it. And the only way that I know there's a hell, and we believe in a real hell of fire, is because the Bible says it. The law of the Lord is perfect. You know, there are those that are denying that the Bible is true. If I meet with anyone and he says, I don't believe the Bible, well, there's no message for him. A man that doesn't believe the Bible is God's guidebook. There's no salvation for him. He'd die in his sins and perish. And we're only wasting our time. I wouldn't begin to argue and speak with men that don't believe the Bible. If you're here and you don't believe that this book in my hand is the Word of God, you'll never be saved while you're like that. But everyone that believes that there's a heaven and a hell, we believe it because the Bible says it, and God is true. Now, the Bible that tells me that there is a heaven also gives me very definite directions about how I can go there. May I say that the Bible is God's guidebook to show me what is required and how a person in this life can finally know while he's here and be absolutely sure and at the end of his journey get to heaven when his journey is done. The Bible shows me the way to heaven. Galileo the astronomer once made this tremendous remark, at least I thought it was a tremendous remark, and I underlined it when I read it, that the Bible is not given to show us how the heavens are going, how the stars are going and the heavens are going, but the Bible is given to show me how I can get to heaven. And if you want to get to heaven, and I believe that some in the tent would likely desire to go, then we can give you the way to heaven. And that's why we're here. Concerning two preachers long ago, a damsel, a young woman, pointed in the street to them in Acts 16, and she said, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who show unto us the way of salvation. And that's exactly what we have been doing in this tent night after night. We have been showing people from the Bible the way of salvation. For men are in ignorance and in darkness, and very few people know exactly what is required if they're going to be in heaven at last. Now, what I'm going to speak about is the absolute necessity of being converted in order to get to heaven. I'm going to speak about this subject of being converted and what it means. Now, it's absolutely clear here. You wouldn't need to be a theologian. And we always preach things that you can find in your own Bible. And if you were to go home and take the Bible honestly and sit down and say, I'm going to open the Bible and see if these men are preaching what's in the Word of God. And if we're preaching anything that's not in the book, then you've no need to believe it. I wouldn't go the length of myself to listen to the most powerful man possessed of charisma if he can't take the old book and say, this is what the Bible teaches. This is what the Word of God has to say. The Bible must be our guideline in the matter of being saved and getting to heaven. Now, when we take Matthew 18 and verse 2 and 3, the words of the Lord Jesus, and there's nothing more powerful, the words of Christ will live forever. When this old world is burned up, and when Washington State is no more, and when the sun and moon and stars are fled, the Bible will stand, and the words of Christ will remain forever. Now, what did he say? He took a little child, and he set the child in the midst. He said, look at that little child. Now he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. What do those words mean? Well, you wouldn't, anyone here that would be honest, and I suppose there's some likely here that are dishonest. You know, there are men that are dishonest. And when we preach the truth, they don't want to listen to it at all. And they don't like it. And they can come a night or two. You know, I've been in many places my lifetime. And people will come, and they'll listen to you. But then when the sharp word of God begins to cut them, and they begin to feel the weight of it, they can't face it. And they draw back. And they don't get saved for eternity. Every one of us that were saved, we allowed the keen cutting word of God to reach us. And it, we believed what God said. And it brought us down lower and lower until we fell down before God and said, I'm lost. And if I die, I'll never be in heaven, for I've never been converted. And Jesus said, except ye be converted, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's going to make no exceptions to the rule. There's no back door in. There's no other way there. Everyone that will ever be in heaven, that will ever walk the streets of gold and sing the song of the Lamb, he must have a conversion. If he has no conversion, he'll be in hell fire at the end of his journey. That's what the Savior is saying here. Except ye be converted, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Now let me pause here a minute and ask you, have you a conversion in your life? You know, your life, you can flick the leaves of your life like a book, like a diary, and you can go back and look at different days in your life, the great days and the sad days, the day when you started school and left school, graduated, the day that you entered employment, the day you were married, the day you were divorced, maybe, God help you if you are. But whatever it is, here you are, and there's big days in your life. Every man has days in his life. Sad days and sorrowful days and difficult days. Days of bereavement, days of sickness. I want to ask you in that book of yours, is there a day of conversion in your book? Have you got a time when you were converted? Can you go back to the place where you were when it took place? Can you relate in simple language how you were converted and how you received Christ as your personal Savior that we've been hearing about? And I want to ask you, can you look back and say, from that day onward, there was a change in my life? Well, I want to make it very clear here right now that the one that professes conversion and his life is not changed, it will never take him to heaven when he dies. You may know the whole gospel and repeat choruses and scriptures and know all the language, but if your tongue was never clean and your life was never changed and your desires were never altered and the people of God saw nothing in you to show you are born again, you were never converted at all. You have nothing for eternity. Friend of mine, conversion is a reality. Now Jesus said, except you be converted, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. These words are absolutely plain. If I were to preach no more, anyone here that is honest, anyone here that is willing to accept it, anyone here that will bow to the authority of the Bible, he must say, it means what it says. Except I'm converted, I will never be in heaven. Never be in heaven. You'll go to heaven without money. There's a beggar man in heaven tonight, Luke 16. You can go to heaven without baptism. The dying thief never was baptized. You can go to heaven without religion. You can go to heaven without education. You can go to heaven without anything that the world may offer. You could die at the back of the ditch and go to heaven. But if you die without conversion inside that glorious home, you'll never be, whoever you may be. We want to lay it down here. Church going will not save you. Religion won't save you. Saying your prayers won't save you. Counting your beads won't save you. Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, what is conversion? What is this conversion that I must have if I'm going to be in heaven? Well, conversion is a radical change in a man's life. Conversion is not changing from one religion to another. One night after a tent like this, a man said to me, he said, I'm converted. I got converted from one faith to another faith. He believed conversion was leaving one religion and joining another. And there's people, and they have joined everything, and they profess this and that at every series of meetings they go to, but they're not really converted. Conversion has nothing to do with changing your religion. And conversion has nothing to do with reformation. Many a man that was an alcoholic, he went to a society, and he was weaned from alcohol and so on, and that's a good thing. We're glad to see people weaned from alcohol, but a person can change from drugs and alcohol and clean up his act and so on, and be on the way to hell the same as he was before. Cleaning up your life is not conversion. Turning over a new leaf is not conversion. Saying your prayers is not conversion. What is conversion? Listen, repent and have your sins blotted out and be converted. Conversion is a turning of a man from his sin. You know, there's very little preaching of repentance today. What is repentance? It's a change of attitude. Every person that ever was saved, he changed his whole attitude. Even before he was saved, we could see the change of attitude. The pride was gone. A change of attitude to God. Well, in every heart before our conversion, we had bitter thoughts about God. I used to say, if he's a God of love, how would he damn my soul? And I fought against it. But there was a day when I changed my whole attitude. And I said, God is right, and I'm a sinner, and if I die as I am, the wages of my sin is death, and I go down into hell fire and the lake of fire for all eternity, and God will be perfectly righteous in doing it with me. Repentance is a change of attitude about sin, and today sin has looked up very lightly. Maybe you've lived in sin for years, and it's all covered up. But you have a past. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes 3, God requireth that which is past. A nurse laid it behind one night after a meeting years ago, and she said, I was nursing a man in the hospital this last 2 days. And in the night, he was dying, and I tossed his pillow and tried to comfort him. And at last he said, Nurse, it's not my pillow, it's my past. And I want to tell you, when you go to die in your sins on that past life, with all its lying and sin and immorality and corruption and the things that are covered up and God brings them to light, what an awful day it will be. You've got to face your sins, and so have I, either in this life or in the day of judgment. God will bring every secret thing into judgment. All our acts are going to be judged in that coming day. Psalm 50, listen to it. I will set them in order before your eyes. The first meetings I ever had 45 years ago, preaching in a kitchen, in a house there, all the bedrooms were filled, they were standing all around, and there was a man there sitting, and in my simplicity I said, I will set them in order before your eyes. And I said, what if God were to write on this wall your sins, what would you do? The man stood up and he said, I would leave the village of Carnlough. It reached his heart, but God's going to set your sins up before your eyes in a day to come. For those of us who are saved, hear our sins, which are many, have been blotted out. Repent of your sins. What does it mean? Turn from your sins. Confess your sins. flee from your sins and from evil companions and the wrath to come, and come as a sinner to the Savior, and receive Him by an act of faith, or you'll never be in heaven. No heaven without repentance. Now this conversion comes about by the Word of God. Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's why our brother read from the Bible, to show you how to be converted. And the way of conversion is plain in the Bible. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and 9, they turn to God. The first thing that marks a man being converted, he turns to God from idols, from his sin. You know, some of the preaching today is this, you can still go on in your sin, bring Christ with you into the world, bring Christ with you to the dance, to the football game, bring Christ with you into the world, enjoy Christ in the world. You can't do it. I want to make it clear, it's either Christ or the world. It's either heaven or hell. It's either turn or burn. That are the two things. You think today it's all mixed up, that the road is not narrow. The road's as narrow as it ever was. Straight is the gate, and narrow's the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The way to hell is wide and loose, and you can live in sin and go on in your sin. And preachers will tell you all as well, as long as you believe, you'll be all right. If your life's not changed, and if your mouth is still filthy, and you're still going on in your sins and practicing sin and deceit in your business, covering up your sin, living in sin, you'll never be in heaven. You can be baptized, you can break bread, you can do whatever you like. But if there's no oil in the vessel of the lamp, you'll never be in the glory. You need a conversion. Now, a conversion takes place at a given time. In Acts chapter 8, here's a eunuch. Where was he saved? In the desert. How did you get saved? Reading the Bible. What did you see? Christ died. Did you receive Him? Yes. Here's another man, a little man up a tree. The Savior is there, and He called him to come down out of his tree. Make haste and come down. If you want to be saved, you'll come down. We're not here to elevate you. The gospel never elevates anybody. The gospel wounds and brings a man down lower and lower and lower until he owns the presence of God. I'm a lost sinner. You'll not sleep in your bed when you get to see that. The night I was saved, I could never have gone to my bed. Never. I made up my mind that day. Before I lie down in my bed, I'm going to seek God with all my heart. If there's a Savior who died, I must find Him, whatever it costs me. If I miss Christ, I go down to the pit, and I perish, and I wanted to be with the Christians. And I wanted to be saved that all the Christians would believe I was saved. There's an old man in the assembly I was in when I was first saved. And he took all the young Christians aside one by one, and he used to say, I'm glad you're saved. So live that the Christians won't be doubting you all the days of their life. You know, there's some people, and they profess to be saved, and we don't like to be too severe. And we give them the benefit of the doubt. But I could name, I'm not going to do it, but I could name many, many people that I know. And some that are even around us here. And I have a big question mark in my mind about you. I wonder about you. But I'm not Almighty God. I couldn't read your heart. I might make a mistake. But there's people we always wonder about. There seems to be nothing of God in them. No light. No evidence of light. No love for Christ. No love for the Bible. No love for the people of God. Just going on like sinners, no one would ever guess they were saved. Friend of mine, I hope you're not like that. Have you got a true conversion that changed your life? When did it take place? When did you come as a lost sinner? Get down before God. The jailer never forgot the night he was saved. People say you don't need to have a time. I don't believe that at all. We're not asking for a date in the calendar. I would never press people for a date in the calendar, but I would press them for a definite time that they would go back to in boyhood, wherever it was, when I knew I was lost and I had soul trouble. Have you ever had soul trouble? Have you ever been awakened to see that you're a vile sinner and you need conversion? Friend of mine, this is most important. This is vital to your eternal well-being. When the last day comes and the blinds are down and the doctor says it's time up and earth is beginning to recede and loved ones are weeping in the shadows and you're going out, I wonder will your eyes open up to find that you are never converted and that you're going down into hell fire, never come back anymore. Friend of mine, this is vital tonight. It's the big thing. I've always said that the big thing is to be truly saved by the grace of God and to be soundly saved and ready for heaven if the Lord should come. Make you no mistake about this. If you make a mistake about this, it'll mean your eternity will be a dreadful one. This is vital. Except you be converted. There are many hindrances to conversion. I'm not going into them now. Why are people not converted? Oh, so many hindrances. Procrastination, the fear of man, the love of sin, and the habits of life, and thousands of things hinder people from conversion. But I want to tell you, every one of us that ever got saved, on the night of our salvation, we threw everything to the one side, and our mouth was closed. I had thousands of arguments before I was saved. Thousands of reasons why I wasn't converted. There's some people that could talk their way out of anything. Years ago, I had the privilege of seeing an attorney's wife saved, and she really got saved. And when she went home and told her husband about it, and told him he would need to be saved and so on, you know what he said? I'll argue my way out of eternity. When I meet God, I'll give him some things he'll not be able to answer. Imagine a puny man like that lifting his rascally hand to heaven and to God. I tell you, when men get to meet God, they'll be speechless on that day. And I know that every one of us here were speechless here. The night I was saved, I was down on my knees before God. I hadn't a word to utter. I realized if he sends me to hell, I'd be getting what I deserve. And at that moment, I realized the blessed words that our brother quoted last night to his own self. They are our sins. And God showed me the first time that on Calvary's cross my sins were dealt with. And that the blessed Lamb of God died for a sinner like me. Christ died for the ungodly. And I realized it was all for me, yes, all for me. And in a moment's time the burden was gone. And my happy soul was free, and joy filled my heart where sorrow reigned before. And I had peace with God, peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers, peace with them. Friend, have you got peace tonight? If you have, you've got something that the world cannot buy. It's worth more than gold itself. Oh, may God grant that you may have a conversion. How? To as many as received him. But as our brother said, you'll never receive him until you've given up everything else, whatever it may be. Cast it aside, any profession, any self-righteousness, anything under the sun, throw it to the one side. Come as a lost, naked, hell-deserving sinner. And in Top Lady's beautiful hymn, say, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for aid, Rock of Ages, tread for me. Let me hide myself in thee. And if you do, you'll be saved for time and for eternity. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow before Thee in that blessed name of the Lord Jesus. We've come to a critical and serious time in these meetings. We've been reminded that men must receive our Lord Jesus Christ or remain in darkness and die without hope. And Thy word is so plain here. Except you be converted and become as a little child in simplicity, owning need and confidence alone in Christ. The Bible says they cannot enter the kingdom. And here in our gathering are quite a few, and they have no conversion at all. They have never been born again. And the Bible says, ye must be born again. And we believe it. O God, we pray that no one would leave this tent with pride filling their heart and with wrong thoughts filling their mind. But that whatever it costs them tonight, there may be those that would get down before God at the end of these meetings and own their guilt in the presence of God and repent with tears if necessary and turn to the Savior and have this matter settled and put beyond all doubt, repenting and being converted that their sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing might come into their lives from the presence of the Lord. O God, bless Thy word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And we have tried to present the word of God tonight faithfully, and the claims of Christ truly, and reality certainly, before their eyes. And we pray that some may come as guilty sinners and trust our Lord Jesus Christ without reserve, and that their lives may be changed for time and eternity. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.